Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
We've got the best team of researchers, I think, anywhere in radio. From across the state, we've got researchers. The minute we know we're getting somebody on the show, we start doing work on this. And I have so much I want to ask Gloria Navarez about. She is the West Coast Conference Commissioner, former college athlete, law degree at Cal, just got appointed to the Knight Commission. Gloria, thank you for making time for us.
Thank you for having me, John.
Let's talk about the Knight Commission. What does that mean, getting onto the Knight Commission?
You know, I really think it's a testament to our President's Council at the WCC and the work they did around the Russell Rule and social justice initiatives. I'm really excited. I think I'm going to be the only commissioner on the commission. Val Ackerman had served previously, so I really look forward to learning a lot and hopefully contributing.
You know, you've got such a unique experience. I think, you know, somebody who played college sports, somebody who's been on college campuses for a long time in different capacities. And how did it help you be a commissioner? You know, your playing experience, how does that assist you today?
You know, thanks for the question, because honestly, that's a tentpole of my career. I had a coaching change after my sophomore year. And, you know, whenever there's a coaching change, there's some level of turmoil. And I really felt as a student athlete, we didn't get a lot of information. Not a lot of folks were talking to us, but one administrator in particular, her name is Elaine Sortino, national level softball coach there, but also at the time their senior woman administrator. And she was the one who kind of reached out to us as a team and led us through that. And it just was really impactful and formative in my view of what collegiate athletic administration can be. You know, having good administrators can make or break the difference between a good and a bad experience, especially if your team isn't, you know, winning national titles.
Your experience goes back to youth soccer. You're 9 or 10. You're playing youth soccer. You also got into basketball. You had to have somebody in your family that was kind of sort of fostering a joy of sports. Who was that person?
You know, that was definitely my father. He, that poor man was shagging balls till his palms were black and blue and building batting cages and shagging basketball shots in the driveway.
I have 3 daughters. And so I look at somebody like, you know, Valerie Cleary at Portland State. And I'll say to my daughters, you know, she's the athletic director at Portland State and Jen Cohen at Washington. And there are some examples across the country. You are a commissioner of a conference in the role that you're in. Do you get a lot of questions? Do you get a lot of young women and college students who say, Gloria, how do I get your job? And because I don't think in college you were thinking about being a commissioner, were you?
No, not at all. I thought I was going to be a marine biologist. I get that question a lot. There is no clear path. I think, you know, getting in early and figuring out what your direction is in college sports is certainly helpful. But there's so many jobs that people are just unaware of. Like everything we do has a marketing component, a sales component, PR, legal, you know, advertising. It's like any other industry, and it's just finding your way and your skill set and where it might fit.
You go to UMass to play basketball. You're there during the John Calipari days with the men's program. What was it like to be part of the women's program there and also, you know, be at UMass during that time?
It was transformative. It was interesting to watch a program that was not on the national consciousness at all go all the way to the top. I mean, a tremendous class. What Calipari did there was just incredible. And it was really, I was fortunate to have been a beneficiary of the Title IX initiatives. You know, I mean, we had uniforms and apparel deals and, you know, good hotels and transportation, and our program was definitely kind of moving in the right direction, although not as quickly as the men's.
You guys have in the WCC have had great success. Gonzaga in the NCAA tournament, a great example of that. It was during your tenure that there was talk about them leaving. They were going to go to the Mountain West. And how did you convince them to stay?
Well, I would just admit first and foremost that I was just the last leg of that relay. A lot of the heavy lifting had been done by the president's council and directors before I came on board. But certainly we kind of sealed the deal after I was hired. And, you know, it was really about commitment to basketball success, because as you know, that is kind of the financial future behind leagues of our size. But I think the other piece is that everyone in the league really galvanized around a package of initiatives to get basketball, you know, across the board committed at a national level. And that was a scheduling commitment, the format of the basketball tournament, non-conference scheduling guidelines, and, you know, retooling our financial model so the further you went in the tournament, the more that revenue the individual school got. And frankly, from Gonzaga's point of view, we have a great TV contract. They fit with us culturally. And as they've shown, they can vie for a national title from the WCC. There's not been one negative feedback or response since they decided to stay in the league.
Yeah, you've got proof, and you know, you could say you can do it here. You know, why not do it here? Gonzaga did. You guys have had some success in Las Vegas with your conference tournaments, and you know, drawing good partnerships there. How important was that to the WCC, Gloria?
You know, in my first stint at the WCC, I was in the league kind of as a you know, junior level employee when we first started to analyze Vegas. And at the time, it really was about finding a venue that was the right size for us, you know, not a big pro-level arena, but also a little bit bigger than what we had on campuses at the time. And so the Orleans was a wonderful fit. And for us, Las Vegas makes a ton of sense. We've got a lot of schools that can drive. You got the hotels, the affordable flights, and it has become, we were the first league to bring our tournament to Vegas, and honestly, it's become the place to be during March Madness.
You're listening to WCC Commissioner Gloria Navarez, who, you know, obviously worked at Cal, worked in the Pac-12 Conference, played basketball in college herself, and law degree at Cal. You get the law degree. Were you thinking then, Commissioner, or were you thinking, what were you thinking?
I don't know that I was thinking clearly. No, I'm kidding. I definitely wanted to go to law school. I had this idea that I would somehow be working in sports, but I didn't have any clarity on how I would do that. In my second year of law school, I bumbled down the hill at Cal to their athletic department from the law school, and the solo compliance person there also happened to be a lawyer and was investigating a major infraction. And so I said, you know, do you need help? And he said, absolutely. And because he was an attorney, I was able to get extern credit. And I ran the office for him while he chased around FedEx, you know, receipts and investigated this infraction. And I just never looked back. I thought, this is the coolest thing, to be able to work professionally in a collegiate athletic space with coaches and student athletes and really become part of the fabric of the department.
What do you see happening in college athletics? Because we hear all this talk about transformation and name, image, likeness, and, you know, what is college athletics going to look like 5 and 10 years from now? And everybody says this is such an important time. Gloria, what are they talking about when they say that?
Well, I think it is an important time. It is a tipping point, largely because a lot of these big issues that we all have known have kind of been out there on the horizon are coming due, and I think that that's aligned with a transformation in our country. You know, there's a lot of reckoning around different issues, and I think what we're seeing in college athletics is a reflection of that. We are a massive organization, as you know. We're federated, Divisions 1, 2, and 3. You know, at the highest FBS level looks nothing like kind of the lower Division 3 levels, and so it is like turning the Titanic sometimes when you talk about national policy, but I really do, I'm an optimist at heart, but I do believe we're headed in a really good new direction. Will it be painful as we turn the ship? Probably, there's a lot of devil in the details. There's a lot of things we need to figure out. But ultimately, I do believe we're heading in a good direction. Student-athletes are going to have more opportunity and rights. And I think, as an enterprise, we'll be stronger for it.
I grew up in the garlic capital of the world, Gilroy, California.
Gilroy.
You are from Santa Clara High School, the Bruins of Santa Clara High School. I thought it was called Buxar. Was that, did that change?
Yes, back in the day. They
back
were
in the day.
High schools, and then they one became a junior high and one became the high school.
Who was your favorite teacher in high school?
No question, Dave Bohr, my AP English teacher.
What'd you get from Mr. Bohr?
You know, he was just, one, he was a really good time. So when you make it fun, I think it sinks in better. But he really got me to understand and read things that would never have been on my radar.
Isn't it funny? Like, I think back to teachers and the gift that they gave, and I'm not sure I appreciate it at the time, but I sure do all these years later as I look back, and I feel the same way about some of my teachers. The Russell Rule in the WCC requires every conference school to include a member of a traditionally underrepresented community in the pool of final candidates. This goes for AD jobs, senior administrator jobs, head coaches. Why is this important in the WCC?
You know, when the George Floyd incident occurred, it was a week before our league meetings. And, you know, our league really, we had talked about it a ton. People released statements. And when we came together in person, we spent a good amount of time talking about what can we do that creates lasting and meaningful change. And that came from the top, all 10 presidents. And, you know, we're smaller in scope as far as athletic departments. The WCC is a fantastic place to make a career. So you see a lot of double-digit year employees. We don't churn as much as, you know, large athletic departments. And I think that's been a great thing for our culture. But also, it really hasn't allowed us to reflect the diversity of our athletic populations or even our geographies in some of our administrative or coaching positions. So a hiring commitment really made sense for a league like ours. And it was so encouraging when we started bouncing the idea around. It quickly became not whether we should do this, but how. How do we craft it so it fits and it's right for all of us in mission and values?
And I think it's interesting, too, because, you know, you're not really saying, you know, you're not guaranteeing an equality of outcome, but you're guaranteeing an equality of opportunity in some respect. And getting opportunities to interview for candidates that might not have been in the room otherwise. How is that part of the mission here?
That's absolutely right on point. But also, you know, we're hopeful that this signals to the market, you know, apply. You are welcome here. There's a space for you here. And it also, you know, when you talk about sport positions, I think we're really those big national searches like your men's and women's basketball or your bigger team sports. You know, we've got good data there, good representation. But when you get kind of down the line to some sports and you're talking about the second or third assistant coach in a maybe a lower resource sport, you know, those jobs aren't thought of as national searches. So it really is kind of, you know, helping folks be a little bit more intentional instead of just grabbing the volunteer who's been helping your program for a couple years or a GA that's been in the works and is right there in front of you to really take a pause, have a full, robust search, and put some work into finding some diversity in that candidate pool.
How'd you get built? Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. The policy's so broad that if you interviewed a female candidate for the head coaching position of a men's sport, you would satisfy our policy because that is a historically unrepresented demographic in college, women coaching men.
How'd you get Bill Russell on board?
Oh, goodness. I rarely go fangirl, but being on the phone with that man was that moment. And he just, you know, got in Hall of Fame induction for he's already in as a player, but as a coach, it just made perfect sense, right? This man is the first African-American to serve as a coach of any major sport, not just basketball. He's an alum of USF. And, you know, by a series of just wonderful people thinking it was a great idea, we got connected with him. There was a moment there a couple weeks that I kind of gave up hope. I'm like, oh, we're never going to get in touch with Bill. You know, we might as well just announce this thing. And the guy in my shop, Doug Drabik, he's like, we got to wait. We got to try to make this happen. And I'm just so glad we did because he has been wonderful. He represents everything we're trying to achieve.
I think it's such an interesting time, and I think the WCC is in great hands, obviously. And, you know, you have done a great job engineering and being a good leader in that conference. But let's talk about leadership in general. When I bring that up, you know, if we're teaching a leadership class, what are some of the principles that we're talking about when it comes to leadership in the Gloria Navarez lesson?
You know, well, right now the Gloria Navarez lesson is probably really steeped in experience from COVID and
right.
this most recent pandemic. And it's interesting, conference commissioners, we have very little legitimate authority to make policy, to change policy, to take action. 90% of what we do is trying to build consensus, getting our 10 schools to think about a problem the same way and agree on a solution that fits for all 10. Rarely are all 10 aligned in their individual agendas or missions or needs. And so really, I think for those out there that are thinking about conference life, it's great, but much of our time is spent trying to figure out the path through for the collective.
Yeah, I think it's so different, I think, conference to conference. And I was just thinking and talking about the Pac-12 earlier, and you and the WCC maybe deal with this as well, in that, you know, your members are not all the same. They have different geography. Maybe they have different advantages and disadvantages. So when you're navigating that and trying to find consensus, you know, I think you really have to have a good understanding, you know, when you're talking to Santa Clara or St. Mary's or University of Portland or Gonzaga, of the similarities and differences in, you know, how diverse are the universities in the conference?
Absolutely. And their positions on issues will change depending on the topic. So, you know, if you're talking about a men's basketball policy, Gonzaga is going to have some really definitive ideas and positions that might completely change if we're saying we're talking about women's golf or, you know, rowing or a sport they don't have, you know. And it really being attuned to where each school is at depending on the topic and where they're trying to get to, because the environment of a healthy league is when everyone's kind of moving in the same direction, you know, no school left behind. You might not get your way every time, but you have to have your, you know, voice heard, your opinion matters. If we're not going your direction, here's why. And, you know, the same schools can't always, you know, lose every decision point. So it's really just key. The whole culture is making sure everyone's getting what they need. There's a running joke among commissioners that if everyone's just slightly not happy with you, you're probably doing a great job.
I love that. Gloria Navarez, WCC commissioner, is our guest. How close to normal do you think we will be in the fall when it comes to COVID protocols and the individual states? What are you hoping for?
Well, I mean, it's looking good. It's feeling good. I was actually just up in your neck of the woods for our rowing championship. And while we didn't have, you know, wide open fans, we had a lot of, you know, family spectators. And the rowing's different. We're out in the water, a lot of spacing, clear air. But with the rate of vaccinations and the slow lifting of the regulations, I'm very optimistic we'll be close to normal, with maybe some great hygiene habits and good no-touch, you know, merchandising policies and things like that. Those are always good, but I'm optimistic we'll be back to normal in the fall.
Gloria, I've heard time and again colleges that will say, we want to be the next Gonzaga, even within your own conference. We want to be another Gonzaga. How difficult is that climb? What kind of commitment do you need to even dream in that space? You've seen it up close.
Yeah. I think what they've built has been a product of time, but also built to withstand the test of time. And I think that has to do with one word: alignment, from the president to the athletic director to the coach. And in their situation, as you know, those guys have been around for 20 some odd years, doing everything toward that same aligned goal and toward their mission. And I think, you know, the sacrifices they've made, the investments that they've made, have all been with the alignment of what they were trying to achieve, from president, you know, all the way through the athletic department. And it's just, it's a great story. The culture they've built, the way they've built it. Now they're at that point where, you know, they have their one and done, but they keep rebuilding with players and personnel that fit their system and what they've built there. It's really remarkable.
Gloria Navarez, WCC Commissioner, thank you for coming on the show. We'd love to have you back. Appreciate getting to know you a little bit.
Thank you so much, John.
Thank you. Gloria, there she is, WCC Commissioner. I want to know what you think of Gloria, what you thought of the interview. You can tweet at me, at John Canzano, BFT. The Culligan Water Cooler Report, coming up next. The Culligan Water Cooler Report. We do it every day on the show. Today, no different.
Welcome to the Culligan Water Cooler Report. If we're talking about it, they'll be talking about it. Brought to you by Culligan Water Company.
Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett, among those inducted into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. Judah Newby, how big a story was Kobe into the Hall of Fame in your mind?
Well, it was a big story for sure. I think Vanessa was almost as big a story, at least for the weekend. That being said, you know, it was interesting. Like, he was supposed to go in last year. They moved up his induction date by a year. Then it got postponed. And we got it now as well. So, but to see him to go in with Duncan and KG, I think that's still really, really cool.
Yeah. I mean, what an interesting class. Like, I remember Garnett coming in, Kobe coming in. They were so young. High school kids coming to the league, and Duncan, just the consummate professional and great example of a star who could also be your hardest working player, set a great example. And it, talk about a franchise that drafted a player and built around a player that just fits who they are. Right. They were so lucky to get him, right? Because they had David Robinson who was hurt, but they get Duncan, and he just...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.